Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 31st, 2016. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Over there, you can also find my email address. And with that, you can email me and send me your prayer requests along with your phone number, and I'll call you back as it is possible. I will also, if it's by your choice, I'll take and print it out, take it to the Mission Church, anoint it with oil. And after anointing with oil, of course, we'll pray over it. And then I'll mail it back to you if you include your physical address and not any kind of solicitation. And in fact, I've got one in my bag right now for a brother that was for a brother and his daughter that we prayed for her and him because of some spiritual attacks. I'm getting ready to mail it back to him. And we did pray for it, anointed it with oil and prayed over it. I don't know what the results are, but we still keep you, brother, in our prayers. Anyway, and thank you for your letter. And yes, someday Lynn and I will, together on here, we'll just do a program with our testimony about how we got started. Anyway, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. So pray about supporting airtime. Airtime time isn't free. It's not cheap. And, you know, people say, well, why don't you expand on some other stations? Well, with Internet, you can hear us anywhere. And most people are listening on their smartphones anyway. But we would get on other stations, but people just don't want to pay for airtime. And we don't sell anything, so it's, you know, hard for us to raise money. So what I do is I challenge you to share these radio programs with at least two or three other people. Anyway, we want to thank our listener base once again that's in Norway, Australia, Taiwan, Helsinki, Finland, Valencia, Spain, Bengal, India, New Delhi, India, Chihuahua, Mexico, Mexico City, Mexico, Toronto, Canada, many, many other places across the world, including Israel. And we're also in so many cities right here in the good old USA, such as like places in Tennessee, Kentucky, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Plano, Texas, Washington, D.C., Aurora, Illinois, Oakland, California, Newark, New Jersey, and many, many others. I could go on for a very long time, and we'd probably rather hear the radio program. But, of course, we want to thank people in Wichita, Kansas, which is our biggest group of listeners. And, folks, I'm calling out to you tonight in Wichita. I'm saying if any of you got old blankets over there, or you can go buy some blankets, or you folks that are listening to me on there, you can buy them and let me pick them up at Walmart. The point is we need blankets. As of tonight is the last night for the overflow shelter for both men and women. And so tomorrow everybody's going to be hitting me for blankets. We need blankets. Sleeping bags will work too. Blankets, sleeping bags, over-the-counter medications, list goes on and on, and bags of socks, those things always help. homeless and the poor need what you need. Okay, now prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. Father, I pray that you give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. And just bless us tonight with your presence, Father. In your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest, he's been on with us before. He served the last 30 years as pastor, evangelist, and equipper in the ministry. In the last several years, he's been called into the arena of teaching prophecy, and boy, that is a tough one. His ministry, the Sure Word of Prophecy, has a mission to help believers to understand Bible prophecy, prepare them for the return of Yeshua, and provide an unarguable presentation to unbelievers that there is indeed one who knows the end from the beginning. In his vision to share the prophetic word of the Bible with scoffers, agnostics, atheists, providing them with the evidence they need to turn them to a saving faith in Yeshua Messiah. You can check out his website at, of course, www, but I never say all that. Just surewordprophecy.org, surewordprophecy.org. You type that into Google, and it's going to pop it right up. And so tonight, he's here to speak with us on Satan's master plan from pretender to prosecutor. So this should be really interesting, and all his talks are interesting. So let's welcome back now Steve Henderson. Are you there with me, Stephen?
Hey, Pastor Dan. It's a real joy to be back with you. Thanks for your invitation.
Well, amen. I was talking to Frank about you earlier, and, you know, you seem like you've become a regular on this program, but that's because I keep bringing you back on. Not only do I like to hear your messages and hear what you have to say, because you are in tune to the times, and, you know, you're pretty much biblically correct as far as I can see, and... But other people, I know that in our archives, a lot of people pick up your programs and are still picking them up. And so I know the people like to hear your message, although sometimes I'd say nobody likes to hear your message or my message because we want to point too much at them. But that's kind of the way it goes. They're stuck with us. Just so anyway, how are you doing, Steve?
I'm so blessed. I could hardly handle myself, brother. I've been back picking the banjo again for a couple of years. My arthritis set in. I couldn't pick the banjo, but I just picked it back recently, and doing a little picking and grinning. I moved out on 10 acres out here in the wilderness, which I think is a perfect place for the time setting that we're in. A lot of good things are happening. Very active in work and ministry. Now I'm just so blessed I can hardly handle myself. How about you?
Well, amen. Yeah, it's a blessing to hear you're being blessed. We're doing pretty good. We're just breaking into spring. I'm getting really, really looking forward to Passover. And I go by the same calendar that, and I'm not going to argue calendars, but I go by the same calendar as Israel does. And so come later this month, you know, we'll be celebrating Passover. And I love it so much. And I've got some new people that we're going to bring into Passover this year. And Passover to me is once you attend a real Passover Seder and it's done right, then you go, wow, so that's what the Last Supper was all about. Oh, I understand my faith because it's such an intricate picture. I mean, so I'm looking forward to Passover and also working on trying to get something going for the people for Passover. So I'm doing pretty good. Back to you.
Well, good for you, brother. I think that as we understand more of the Jewish roots of the scripture and the master plan of Yahweh, we begin to understand even deeper the significance of the prophetic word, the times and seasons. The Passover, of course, was first alluded to in Egypt when the blood was put over the doorpost, Moses' first month, 14th day at midnight. Then 40 years later, on the selfsame day, they entered into the Jordan and crossed into the Promised Land. 1,500 years later, Yeshua is hanging on a cross there on the first month, 14th day. And there's very deep significance to these times and seasons. And I would hope that more of us would dig deeper into the significance of the Feast of Tabernacles and Harvest.
Are important. Yeah. Amen.
I chose the topic of Satan's master plan from pretender to prosecutor because I'm pretty stirred up about what I see happening in the world arena. And as I understand Bible prophecy, it's clear to me that this master plan has been set in motion, evidenced by the growing unrest that we're witnessing all around us. I guess we understand the prophecies speak of this day, and many are recognizing the troublous times, and many countries are converging their best minds together to try to find solutions to this ever-increasing unrest we have in our society. And consequently, great men are rising up and speaking out about the troublous days we find ourselves in, trying to find an ultimate solution to our troubles. And Satan's master plan incites war, we understand that. And as a plan begins to take shape, this will mandate a radical solution. And so, therefore, we must look at the scriptures to find out what this all entails. Amen?
Amen.
So, let's consider up front for a moment the wars that Satan has incited, that we've been sucked into recently. The Arab world's turmoil has deepened very significantly. Of course, the Islamic State has captured large swaths of Iraq and Syria, as in Egypt, Libya, in Europe, and even on the borders of Israel. In fact, I read they were in the West Bank. Hezbollah threatens Israel with a rain of rockets continually. Hamas is gearing up the war against the Jewish occupiers after much of Gaza was destroyed last year. Egypt has turned toward authoritarianism and repression. Libya is drifted toward civil war. In Africa, the world watched Sudan's leaders drive their country into the ground, and Boko Haram insurgents stepped up their terrorist attacks in northern Nigeria. Just recently, 500 Christians were murdered there a week or two ago. The international legal order was challenged with the annexation of Crimea by Russia. And war in Europe is fighting, continuing in the eastern Ukraine. Here in China, their relations with neighbors also remain tense and could lead to a crisis in the East or South China Seas. And we might be drug into that here pretty quick. The struggle between Iran and Saudi Arabia shapes the contours of violence between the Sunnis and Shias across the Middle East. Everywhere in the African continents, power is jostled to Somalia, Sudan, and there's a lot of regionalized wars. Wars and instability are also becoming geographically concentrated in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Saudi Arabia is attacking Yemen and descending to prolonged, uncontrollable war, and there's famine hitting Yemen and famine hitting Syria. The world is drying up. Water crisis is everywhere. And here we're trying to find a major global solution and a global imperative. Some of the recent articles that I read, almost 250,000 people dead in Syria war. The news of mounting death toll comes as UN Security Council backs resolution to probe chlorine gas attacks in the country. Here they are pouring out chemical warfare over there. $18 billion arms race helping to fuel Middle East conflict. And security experts express fears of region stability amid record weapon sales from West and Russia's missile deal with Iran. And here we have terrorists fighting terrorists, brother. ISIS versus Al-Qaeda, the title of this article, Jihadist Global Civil War. Al-Qaeda and its rogue stepchild, the Islamic State, are locked in mortal combat against one another, and two are now competing for more than leadership of the jihadist movement. They are competing for the soul of Islam. Hezbollah is fighting Al-Qaeda and edging closer to a full-scale confrontation. And here's an article out of the World Tribune. What happened? White House stunned as wars rage against the Middle East. The mood here is really at a crisis point, it says, that is unprecedented in recent memory. So very obviously, we're becoming a more and more troubled war world. And we are almost in World War III, and a lot of people are actually proclaiming that. If you look in the Middle East, when you have Russia, Iran, China, Syria, France, Great Britain, the United States, all in one place, it's almost what you would refer to as a global world war. And we're not calling that, but we are getting deeper into the stark reality of a world war coming here quickly. To get the feel, brother, for this prevailing mood of the stark reality that we find ourselves in, I'd like to read a short segment of a speech by former President of Israel, Shimon Peres, as he shared with a group of leaders expressing his concern in this way. And this hits it on the head. He says, and I quote, "The greatest killer in history is war. Many people die from poverty, sickness, or storms, but the greatest artificial killer, to our regret, is still the human being. War kills, injures, displaces millions, and tears families apart. As human beings, we are forced to ask ourselves, why is this? Terrorists are spread out in non-identified groups and speaking in the name of a lord of their own who, according to their rhetoric, cut the heads of sinners off and saved the world. While at war, there was a camp against a camp, one camp winning, the other camp losing. In terror, even a camp can hardly stop terrorists because terrorists are not a camp. While the wars created wars, and even when one camp was winning over the other camp, it never brought an end to war. The victor won, but the loser would engage in another battle to regain territory. When it comes to terror, we have to think how to face this new danger that was so empowered by new technology. If we want to get rid of terror, it's not enough to kill terrorists. We have to kill the reasons for terror: poverty, lack of opportunity, and lack of hope. In the Middle East, there are 400 million inhabitants, many of them living in poverty, half of them women who are discriminated against, making every nation half a nation and depriving their own children from the education that only mothers can provide. Yet we too, messengers of peace, have a global force to be reckoned with. We live in an interconnected world. Our global village is more accessible and more informed than it ever has been. With the new era of science and technology, our world has changed. We are no longer bound to the land and to national borders. Ideas, innovations, and information fly faster than we could ever dream." And then he continues and ends with this: "We must continue to work toward peace in every way we can in the Middle East and around the world. We must strengthen the rays of hope and seize the opportunities for the sake of the young generation of the Middle East. And with the promise of science, goodwill, and tolerance, we must continue to push our region toward a new era." End of quote. Brother, this message is a prevailing message among many from what I'm seeing. I'm sure you're hearing a lot of this yourself. The message is right, it's just, it's honorable, and it's our only hope. But on the underneath of this, and behind the scenes of this message, something very sinister is rising up, and it's Satan's master plan. According to the prophetic word, trouble will ultimately force all into a unifying force against those who are the cause of strife, wars, and bloodshed. And the Bible speaks very clearly about a day when the pretenders will turn into vicious persecutors and prosecutors against our brothers and sisters who have expressed faith in Yeshua's name. And this is where it is heading. It is here among us, and it's high time to wake out of our sleep and call it what it is. What do you think about that, brother?
You hit the nail actually on the head. You know, of course, this whole globalization and this, all of this, the underlying thing is, in fact, your theme for tonight. It's a plan of the devil, and yes, it always has been.
Yes, it is. Brother, I believe the leaders of the world need to send a message to the world in condemning the act of genocide as the most barbaric and criminal act of humankind and propel a global response. We need to do that. It's an existential crisis for all the religious minorities in the Middle East, not just Christians. And it's a divining moment here for our great country here in America, in my opinion. And just last week, finally, the Obama administration had to acknowledge that, in fact, genocide is taking place. They were real hesitant in even putting that out in the open. But it's not the only thing that we're faced with. For those who have been paying attention, it's obvious that the world is spinning out of control, and others are oblivious to this, but there's some that recognize it, and whether we recognize it or not, there seems to be something big looming on the horizon. The daily news is packed with stories of conflict and commotions and confusion, and there is an ever-growing problem that appears to be enlarging by the day, and we're finding ourselves more and more desperate to find solutions, and things appear to be unraveling in many areas of the globe. So through this, we see this plan taking shape, which underneath, the devil is formulating. I'd like to share with you an article that came out of the Vatican. And this is something we better be paying very close attention to, because this is Bible prophecy to its fullest extent. And we'll get into some prophecies here in a little bit. In an article article entitled Vatican Reforming the International Financial and Monetary Systems in the Context of Global Public Authority. This exposition from the Vatican calls for a global partnership to bring about the change needed to tackle the ever-increasing difficulties the world is facing. And here is what the article says. Globalization, despite some of its negative aspects, is unifying peoples more and more, prompting them to move toward a new rule of law on a supranational level, supported by more intense and fruitful modes of collaboration, with dynamics similar to those who put an end to the past of the anarchical struggle between rival clans and kingdoms with regard to the creation of national states. Today's humanity needs to be committed to the transition from a situation of archaic struggles between national entities to a new model of a more cohesive, polyarch international society that respects people's identity within the multifaceted riches of a single humanity. Hello? Such a passage, which is already timidly underway, would ensure peace and security development and free, stable, transparent markets for the citizens of all countries, regardless of their size or power, and it continues. It would seem logical for the reform process to proceed with the United Nations as it's referenced because of the worldwide scope of the UN's responsibilities and its ability to bring together the nations of the world and the diversity of its tasks and those of specialized agencies. The fruit of such reforms ought to be a greater ability to adopt policies and choices that are binding because they are aimed at achieving the common good on local, regional, and world levels. And Pope Benedict expressed the need to create a new political world authority. This seems obvious if we consider the fact that the agenda of the questions to be dealt with globally is becoming ever longer. Think, for example, of peace and security, disarmament and arms control, promotion and protection of fundamental human rights, management of economic and development policies, management of migratory flows, food security, and the protection of the environment. In all these areas, the growing interdependence between states and regions of the world becomes more and more obvious as well, as a need for answers that are not just sectorial and isolated, but systematic and integrated, rich in solidarity, subsidiary, okay, and geared to the universal common
good. Got to break in. Got 30 brother, seconds before break. Tell them where they can find you at, and then we'll go to break.
Okay, brother. We're at SherwoodProphecy.org. I just recently put together three new presentations. You can go over to the tab presentations and view them on, I put them on Vimeo. Just click the tab and I have three great presentations I think you would be really interested in seeing.
Folks, go over there and check him out. He's got a lot of things over there. Go over there and see what's up, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and listen to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, Passover's coming up, and I know some of you have, actually some of you already did it. I don't understand how that works, whatever, but we go along with the calendar from Israel, and we've been so for many, well, ever since we started keeping the feast, and I'm not going to argue about the calendar. Point is, Passover's coming up, and we're trying to do something special for the people, Because, you know, the word even says, whenever you make a feast, Yeshua said, it's recorded in Luke, it says, then he said unto him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends or thy brother, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense or reward is made to thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot reward thee or repay thee, for thou shalt be repaid at the resurrection of the just. We're with all feasts, and actually even with all holidays, whether it's Thanksgiving, we make sure we have Thanksgiving with the people. Now, we don't completely share our Passover meal with everybody, because really it's a question of saved and unsaved, but and I'm not being picky, but we do make sure the poor have a really good meal. And so what we're trying to do this year, we're trying to plan a Passover picnic under our brand new awning outside before, you know, just right before Passover. And we're going to tell them about Passover, but it's also going to be in honor of one of the guys that died that was among the homeless and poor that helped us fix the building, remodel the building. You know, we called out for people to come help us, and we were talking to some people in an agency at that time, or we're not really an agency, but a group of Christians and churches and things that got together, going to do something about the homeless and poor. And they, in fact, they had me on the board. I didn't stay long, but they said, yeah, we'll come out and help you. It took us 4.5 months at least to get the mission church ready after we got it. And you know how many days that the Christians showed up, fellow believers? They showed up one day. A couple came back the next day and helped me do a fence. But that's it. Otherwise, it was the homeless and poor that put together Wichita Mission Church. And it was ready for demolition when we got it. So they helped, and they do earn their way. So, but anyway, we're wanting to put this picnic on, and we need to raise at least $1,000 for that. And so we're praying that it'll put it on your heart, that the Father will put it on your hearts to help us out. But above that and beyond that, folks, look, you know, so many people, you know, it's just like this. We don't, all these other radio stations and everything, they sell things. We don't sell anything. You know, we try to bring you the word to warn you about what's coming so that you might be ready for the tribulation that is upon us and coming just so, so very fast. You don't know, with all these terrorists and things that are around, we want you to be aware. We want you to have a personal relationship with Yeshua. So it will be unquestionable that if something happened to you, that you, we know that you'll meet your maker in a good sense, that you'll be meet him in a glorified body, not ready for the lake of fire, but ready to stand by his side. But the point is that, so we do these things, and we're there to help the poor and the homeless, you know, and we want no thanks from anybody, because when you get thanked for something, you know, you're really getting a reward here. Do you realize that? You're supposed to go for a reward in heaven, not because somebody says, oh, thank you, you did a good thing, or, oh, I can claim that on my taxes. Yeah, if you want to take a donation that you send us and claim it on your taxes, you can. But really, I'd rather have my reward in heaven. But the point is we do need your help. Right now, overall, we're trying to get out of debt before the rest of the warm weather gets here. And so we're trying to raise $5,000 total. So pray about it. I know most of you are poor people that are out there, but, you know, if any kind of donation would help, and the Father knows all donations that come from where? I didn't hear you. That come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, at prophecyhour.com. So just pray about it, folks. Anyway, and now we're back with Steve Henderson. Are you still with me, Steve?
Brother, I'm here and just fired up. How about you?
Oh, I'm here. I'm ready. I am fired up tonight or today. I've been that way for a few days, and I thank my Father for it. Amen.
Yeah, I know that God said you need to be on fire or you need to be cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And we ought to be fired up as we see these things going on, because, you know, in the midst of all the bad news and the things that we share there. There is a tremendous amount of good news that's coming on the backside of this storm, brother. And, you know, one day the saints will possess the kingdom, and one day this world will be a world of peace where the lamb will lay down with the lamb, and you know, we'll have an eternal outlook where there's no more devil and no more war, and that, you know, we're going to have everything to look for and nothing to fear. So, I want to reiterate that I'm not what you refer to as a doomsdayer. I share the bad news, and then when I get the good news, it just appears that much better because, in fact, we are facing some stark realities and problems in our midst as we see, but there is some tremendous promises on the backside of this. One day we're going home into an eternal world where there's no pain, no crying, no sorrow, and no more death. And one day my son is going to pop out of that grave, and I'm going to see him again. And that's my hope, and I hold on to that, and I believe it. And I have seen it played out in my life. So, you know, as I share this news with the audience, I also want to share that there is tremendous news up ahead of us, and it's the good news of the gospel of the kingdom coming.
Amen. Very well put.
Well, it's hard, brother, to grab a hold of the enormity of this growing consensus among the peacemakers, because here in America, we don't grasp the reality of all this yet. But one day, we're going to wake up and find ourselves in some serious issues. One day, our debt is going to come up to crush us, and it's not a matter of if, it's when. And we're too far gone to reverse this inevitable crisis that I think is just before us. A lot of the economic experts are saying this, and once we're brought down to a third world country, then we might be more receptive to hear the message. You know, when the planes hit the World Trade Center, there were a lot of people holding hands out in the streets saying, God bless America, but that didn't last very long. But hopefully we'll come back to terms with reality again, and there is good news on the backside of this. And, you know, it was not the good news is not going to be Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump being our presidents. It's going to bail us out of this deep abyss we find ourselves in. And if those are our only two options, we're in big trouble. What do you think, brother?
Well, actually, I'm actually pro-Trump, brother. You asked, so I need to answer. And, folks, I reiterated this on the other program. If you look at all the evilness and all the hatefulness that's coming out against him and you really look at who they are, he's exposed who the New World Order is because it's the New World Order is coming against him because he will upset every plan that they have and that they've been building on for years. And believe me, I prayed through this and you know, I hope he is the man, or I pray that another hero enters the field, because the other guy, what do you got, Ted Cruz? Ted Cruz, his wife is CFR. We can prove so many lies with him. You know, a lot of evangelicals are going for Trump, and we're seeing a lot of things happen. I don't know if God the Father will bless this nation again, even for a little while, and then again he might. But if he is, right now, currently, on the field, that is the only player that we can look at. Except for, of course, the Lord Yeshua, but, you know, he uses men. Back
yes,
to you.
Absolutely, brother. Well, that's an interesting slant on it. Well, we recognize, though, we are in real trouble. What's apparent to me is that one day, calamity will come on the whole world, and it will be methodically orchestrated. And I'm not talking about conspiracy theories here. I'm not talking about the Illuminati and the Council of Foreign Relations, the Club of Rome, the Skull and Bones, and the Bilderbergers and Freemasonry, even though some of those One World Order mindsets might help have a hand in bringing some together. But this mastermind is a devil himself. And according to Scripture, the time will come on the whole world as an overwhelming surprise. And I think we need to recognize what Yeshua said there. In Luke, the 21st chapter, verse 34 through 36, he gives us admonition and warning. He says, take heed to yourselves, lest your heart is weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, that the day comes on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. I looked up that word snare in the Greek, and it's synonymous to be caught or Scripture defines it as a position or situation from which it's very difficult to escape. And apparently, there's going to come a day that's going to come suddenly, unexpectedly, because very few are following the admonition that he shares with right directly after that statement, which is this: watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And, brother, I think in order to watch, we need to know what we're looking for. And the Bible says that we should not be ignorant of the devil's devices, and the prophetic word is very clear what he will do when this time arrives. And we just need to take an honest look at it and recognize that it will come to pass, whether it sounds weird to us or not. Satan's plan and strategy is clearly articulated as the day of Yahweh approaches. And this originator of evil is putting together a team of masqueraders, imposters of good, if you will, and the whole world will buy into his deceptive, enticing offer when all of it falls apart. And through these agents of deceit, the imposters and pretenders of this deceptive religious order will become the persecuting influence which convinces the whole world to turn against true believers. And according to the book of Revelation, in my understanding, this is referred to as a beast, or a very odd beast, one with seven heads and ten horns. And if you'll please allow me here for a moment, brother, to read a small segment of what will be coming down when the beast comes out in the open. I'll start with the last part of the third verse in chapter 13 of Revelation. And it says this: all the world marveled and followed the beast. And they, the inhabitants of the world, will worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who is able to make war with him? And he's given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue 42 months. Then he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation, and all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. You see, brother, there is a unity of nations and the development of religious order here that we see happening among us at the moment because of the extreme situation that the devil is putting the world into. And through the carnage of war and bloodshed, something comes out of it that will come as a promising hope, a very clear and peaceful strategy to line the world up into what they refer to as becoming one, and coming alongside each other on common ground, and to regard the human life, regardless of affiliation and ethnic groups and all, to be equal in part. The book of Daniel is where we discover this Old Testament prophecy in the same manner. In Daniel chapter 7, he also tells us the timing when the beast comes up in the world. And in Daniel 7, verse 2 and 3, Daniel declares that I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four beasts came up from the sea, each different from one another. According to Daniel, the thing that he sees first is these winds are stirring up the great sea, and out of the great sea, when the winds are stirred up, these four beasts come up, which are the same beasts that you find in Revelation chapter 13, the composite beast that you find as it stands upon the sands of the sea in Revelation 13:1. The stirring up of the seas indicate very troublous times, and the beast will show up in very troublous days. And as you continue in the vision, the beast will take charge over the whole earth, and Jesus spoke of this day and prophesied the conditions connected to the what he referred to as a roaring of the waters or the striving upon the sea. And he says in Luke 21, verse 25 and 26, he said, it's on the earth will be distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves are roaring, and men's hearts are filling there from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So what I see here, brother, is the devil's plan is simple. The conditions of the earth are going to get so bad that fear is going to take over the heart of the masses, and it will control and motivate everyone in this day. And this will be a necessary element to bring to the forefront the devil's devices to bring everyone under his leadership. And as we know, people who are scared to death do some pretty stupid things. And most will throw out any rationality and common sense in the name of self-preservation and survival. And so as Satan allows the conditions on the earth to get out of hand, he will use this to bring about a game plan to save the earth from destruction. Thus, the world powers get together in a form and guise of unity, and the prophecies tell us what the devil will do to save the world. Your input, brother.
Yeah, we are
talking a lot here.
You're talking a lot. Well, don't you always? But that's the point. I bring you on so that people can hear what you have to say. But yeah, amen. You know, I really don't. I think we're so far stuck. For the record, I think that we're so far stuck in the mud, United States. I don't believe that we're going to get out of it. Even if per se that somebody like Trump were to come into power. And try and rectify the things, or like he says, you know, rectify the wrongs against the United States, it would probably just cause the rest of the world to try to attack us and blow us up. The only thing that we can look forward for real change is going clear through this mess and get to the other side where Yeshua is at, because that's how far gone that we are at. Back to you.
Yes, I think we are spiraling out of control. This great nation... As you've heard me in my concept of the Book of Daniel, I believe the Book of Daniel talks about a great nation that's going to break. And I more than ever believe that Daniel chapter 8 is coming to pass before our very eyes. We are going to get into it with Iran and the constituents there in that area. As the goat comes across the face of the earth, the whole earth from the west, with a great nation leading the way from the west, there will be a conflict. And when that conflict begins, the ram is going to get broken down. But then when the great nation wins this war, it will break. And when it breaks, it will affect the whole world. And, of course, with the petrodollar and the other things that are taking place, with the ideas of changing out currency, and all it will take is one more major war to break this country. And we've been looking at the deck clock, but it's pretty amazing. But anyway, in the unity of nations, there will be those leaders that are going to be looking to the religious leaders to get them out of the jam. This is what I see when the harlot sits on the seven-headed ten-horned beast. The harlot of a spiritual nature that will dictate with a cup of abominations in her hands, with a set of delusions and doctrines that will not only deceive the nations, but also will deceive the church into aligning up with the world. And when it happens, then the true believers of Yeshua are going to be the targets of wrath. And the Spirit clearly says that in that time, many in the last day will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, and they're going to speak lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Apparently, some who are in the faith of Yeshua will leave because of demonic doctrines and the influence of these religious leaders, these imposters of religious nature, which will rise up in the name of good. And during this time of extreme turmoil, the world will be looking toward an intervention from a higher power. And Satan will have a spiritual solution to their demise. And through the people of light, the world will organize a plan to save our planet from a murderous civil disorder. And I believe that when it comes down, there is going to be absolute unrest. And the scripture says very clearly that the love of many will wax cold, and people will hate one another, and that war will come to the forefront. And when you look at the picture that Yeshua paints, it's not a very pretty one. But out of that will come religious leadership that will, in the form of light, try to formulate a plan that will keep the nations from annihilating one another. And we need to be aware of the global religious quickly. I want to share one little thing about a video that Pope Francis gave here last month, and he said that all the major religions are different paths to the same God. And he says of all people from various global faiths may be seeking God or meeting God in different ways, it's important to keep in mind that we all are children of God. And he quotes, many think differently, feel differently, seeking God or meeting God in different ways. And in this crowd, in the range of religions, there is only one certainty that we have for all. We are all children of God. And the Pope decided that the majority of the Earth's inhabitants profess some sort of this religious belief. And he said, that should lead us to a dialogue among religions, and we should not stop praying for it and collaborating with those who think differently. Then this video that it shows goes on to feature representatives of Buddhism, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, who proclaim their respective beliefs in God, in Yeshua, in Allah, and Buddha together. And later on, after the Pope affirms that all, regardless of their religious profession, are children of God, the faith leaders state their common belief in love, and he closes the video by expressing his hope that all viewers will spread my prayer and request this month that a sincere dialogue among men and women of different faiths may produce fruits of peace and justice. So,
wow.
You know, this has happened more than you know, brother. There was a URI, the Council on World Religions. If I had time, this would be a program in itself of how the religious order is getting together and becoming one. And in the Book of Revelation, we find that at some point in time, the ten horns, and by the way, on these heads are blasphemy, so it's in the spiritual connotation that we're looking at. These ten horns will have one mind and one heart, and be in conjunction with the beast for 1 hour and have one mind. So there's a unity here of a religious and a sectarian order, and led by someone who shows up at this time, known as a lamb-like beast in Revelation chapter 13, who convinces the whole world that the world has formulated a good strategy to keep the peace and security together. And he will make fire come down out of heaven in the sight of men and calls all, both small and great, rich and poor, and free and bond, to conform to this beast power, which is going to put together a system that's going to be anti-God in some way or shape and form. And, you know, I have my ideas there. Of course, that's another program, too. But
yeah, absolutely. Let me break in a second. We only got about a minute left. First, I think you should do that, Steve. I think you should take the time, and we can make a special time for it or whatever. But I would like put together those connections with the different religions and how they basically have a chair open waiting for somebody to come and take it. That would be a really good radio program. Folks, Steve will be back on March 31st. Don't know what he's going to talk about. I don't think Steve knows yet either. But anyway, brother, tell them where they can find you, and then we got to get out of here.
Brother, I appreciate you, and I love you, and I appreciate your invitation today. My website, surewordprophecy.org. If you love prophecy, you'll love the website. I'm putting stuff on there all the time, and I have a lot of video presentations that I've done that you can just click on them and go right to them and see them, and it will sure open up your eyes. So be blessed, Brother Dan. Thank you for your invitation.
All right. Thanks for being on. Okay. Well, folks, Steve always has a good message. You know, if anything else that you take away from his message, take away from his message that the time is near, the time is close, and it's getting closer. So that's why we here at Messiah's Branch are trying to make sure that we want you to be warned. We want you to have that special relationship. Yes, we also, that's what the radio program does, is fundraise and makes to get money for the Mission Church. And we are trying to raise, I'm trying to get to a sum of $5,000 so we can pull out everything, have that Passover picnic for the people, but so that we can go into spring without a bunch of debt hanging over us. So pray about it. Support the Wichita Mission Church. Any kind of donation will help. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. But you must remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Just as he said, 3 days and 3 nights. Again, always be a blessing to others. If you're in Wichita, stop by the Mission Church. And I just got a text from somebody in Wichita that they were indeed going to be bringing by some blankets. Bring by some blankets if you can do it. That's the word for this week. Bring blankets. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.